Turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5, if you would please. Ephesians chapter 5. And we'll continue here in our look-see in the scriptures about the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God. And in Ephesians chapter 5, the saints at Ephesus and the folks there in the Lord's church at Ephesus, and we, you and I today here, members of Olmsted Baptist Church, are admonished by our Lord through the apostle in Ephesians 5:18, and be not drunk with wine where is an excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always, verse 20, for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And so the apostle writes here, and he's writing to this church, writing to us, telling us and speaking to us in other verses, we need to follow our Lord as dear children, walk in His love, put away the works of the flesh. We find that over and over in the New Testament scriptures and epistles to the church. Don't be deceived about by vain words. And we need to prove, verse 10, what is acceptable unto our Lord. Don't have fellowship with the works of darkness. They're unfruitful, but rather reprove them. Tell what the truth is towards them and against them. And then wake up. Wake up and grow up, all right? Verse number 14, walk circumspectly. That means you know where you're going, you know where you came from, and you know what's up, you know what's happening. And redeem the time, verse number 16. Don't be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. We've touched on that recently. And then don't be drunk with wine. Don't be filled with things that can alter our thinking, our way. Don't be filled with those things. What's he say? But be filled with the Spirit. So we have an admonition here from our Lord to be filled with His Spirit. Brother Jim, I thought, well, you've preached. I thought the Word of God tells we've got the Spirit of God within us. Yeah, if you're saved, you do. So what's this about be filled with the Spirit? Does it mean that we can't be filled with the Spirit? Let me be clear. Does it mean, does being saved and have the Spirit of God within us, does that mean that we cannot be filled with the Spirit? Well, I think that we can be filled with the Spirit. We're told to. You and I are told to be filled with the Spirit. How do you do that? Well, he gives us a hint here. He tells us, rather than a hint, he gives us guidance. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. The music of this world, will that do it? No, it's the music that honors and glorifies our Lord. So, because what's going on there as we speak to ourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs? Well, they're about the Lord. They're unto the Lord. There's thanksgiving unto our Lord. They tell about what the Lord's done. They tell about His Word, about His Scripture, how He's worked in our lives, right? Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Be filled with the Spirit, giving thanks always for all things. So a thankful people, thanking the Lord. Thanking the Lord for the, as you and I would say, the little things and the big things. Thanking the Lord. Praise be to God for His blessings upon us. He's been good to us. No, it could be a lot worse than it is. And is it really that bad? Understand, folks, there are people living in cardboard boxes in other countries. There are people that don't know where their next meal is coming from in this world. There are people that only have barely one change of clothing. They could be a lot worse. There are people that are alone. They have no one that they can call for anything. Oh, it could be a lot worse. We need to thank our Lord a lot because he's been very good to us. May we be a thankful people and rest in him. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us be reminded that we're to give thanks for trial and tribulation. Are we not? The Lord says it's a good thing for patience to be worked in us, for faith in him to be tested and tried. See, when faith is tested and tried, the Lord is glorified when the saint of God looks to the Lord in faith, even though they're being squeezed in the flesh. Is this pie in the sky? Are these the right words to say, but you and I go home know that it's different? I pray not. This is the truth. This is the way it is. This is living and walking with our Lord, as the brother led us in the song. We need to walk with our Lord. Our Lord suffered. Well be that it would be that we would suffer. We've looked at that even recently. Brother Peter on Wednesday nights, out of his epistles, tells us that we're called to suffering. But you know what? We can give thanks in the middle of it, knowing it isn't going to last forever. And we are on our way to the Lord. And you know what? It's our Lord that sustains us. He's glorified when we recognize and we give thanksgiving that it's our Lord that lifts us up, even when we're beyond what our flesh can stand. So he says, be filled with the Spirit, being a thankful people, submitting yourselves, verse number 21, here in the church, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear, the reverence of God. And so, be filled with the Spirit. You know what? We can be filled with the Spirit because we're told to be filled with the Spirit. And how is it that we are filled with the Spirit? Let's go to the scripture here and take a look at some examples that we find in the scriptures. And before we get to those examples, first, let's turn over here to Joel chapter 2. Look at what our Lord has promised in this day, in this church age. And again, we've looked at recently about how it is for salvation. Salvation's no different now than it ever has been. There's never been a multiple plan or way of salvation with our Lord. Salvation's one way. We've seen that. We've looked at that in the scripture. Brother Mark has touched upon that of baptismal regeneration. And he's bringing out in the scriptures how the scriptures don't support that by baptism folks are saved. And that's true. That's right. I'm thankful that he's doing that. What leads folks to think that such a thing could even be is doubt about the ability and the power of God and how he saves. Man just naturally wants something he can do. And we are not saved by what we do. Sinners, you and I are called to repent of our sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is our Lord that saves. When we see our sin and we see the Lord Jesus Christ, he reveals and shows us these things through his word. We see the truth. There's no other one to run to come to flee unto, but the rock. The rock of salvation, the one in whom there's help and hope. And we believe that he can and will save a repentant sinner. Okay? And so there's misunderstanding about the power of God that leads people off into those things. And so the Lord has always worked the same in men. The Lord has always moved with the Spirit. But you know what? We live in a time, this church age, that the Lord said that he was going to work, I believe, more with his Spirit. And he was going to work more with his Spirit in a manifested, shown way abroad. You and I are not Jews, and we've been saved. You and I are in the Lord's church, and we have the promise of the Holy Spirit work of the Comforter here within the church. You know, that's way more evident and written about and told and preached and held and believed and folks, the children of God being thankful for than was in the Old Testament. You see what I'm saying? The Spirit of God never looks to draw attention to himself. Jesus told us, as we've seen, is that he always holds forth the Lord Jesus. Okay? But indeed, we know he's at work. and our Lord has made us promises. So we look here to Joel chapter 2, and let's read this. We live in this time. We live in this time, and here's how I believe how we can know this. Joel chapter 2, verse 28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaidens in those days will I pour out my spirit. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth. Blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. You know what? We live in this time. We live in this time by the Lord doing and calling the way that he calls, and the institution of the church, the ordinances that we have, the gospel being fulfilled, and his church given a commission to preach it, preach it, preach it, and tell it across the world. We live in this time where men of God are moved by the Holy Spirit of God, and churches of the Lord are moved by the Holy Spirit of God to take and call. Men are called to the ministry. Men are called to be missionaries. Churches are moved upon to have evangelistic efforts in their region and their communities and look to evangelize their part of the world, their close, and the parts of the world beyond. The Spirit of God's moving. You know, sinners are touched by the preaching of the Word of God. They go, they're brought by the Lord from not giving a lick about God and anything about eternity, brought all the way over here to, oh, see the gravity and the seriousness and the necessity of facing eternity without the Savior and the condemnation. The Spirit of God is moving, and he moves. Here, Brother Joel writes about this, that the Lord would pour out. And there's much here that's written about how there would be prophesying. And look how it came. Look how it came. There were in those days. We saw about the Spirit of God moving upon John the Baptist. Our brother mentioned about him this morning. We saw how the Spirit of God moved upon our Lord. We saw how the Spirit of God move there in those days. We're going to read some of those things in regards to the church after the Lord had ascended. And our brethren, as they were called by the Lord to be his disciples, be his apostles, were used of the Lord to write his word down. And you and I have got that today. You know, there's no more prophesying. That written about the prophesying happened before. It happened at the beginning of this time. And praise be to God for it. We've got it today. And we rejoice in it. We've got it right here in this wonderful book, don't we? We've got it. It goes on to say here that the Lord would show wonders. You remember how it was with the Lord Jesus in his birth. There was wonders in heavens then. The angels appeared and brought this great proclamation of the birth of the Lord unto shepherds about the shepherd. Isn't that something? And so there will be wonders that the Lord will show in the heavens in the time to come. It says here, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. So we see that this prophecy of Joel, it encompasses this whole time. This whole time from near when the Lord came and what the Lord would do with the coming of Christ, all the way to where the Lord will wrap up this old dirt ball. And the Lord said he would pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. The Spirit of God is moving. He says, and it shall come to pass, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion, in Jerusalem, shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. The Lord's got a people. Praise be to God that he's got a people he's going to save. And you know what? What do you think about when you think about Jerusalem? What do you think about when you look towards Zion? That's where the Son of God died, suffered, bled, and died, was buried, and rose again for me. There's salvation there. And you know what? It's all been brought by the power of God, by the moving of the Spirit of God. So we have this that we just want to lay in right there with this prophecy of Joel. And you and I, as we read in Ephesians 5, are told by our Lord to be filled with the Spirit. Let's take a look here in the Scriptures. Let's go to Luke chapter 1, and let's see this when the Lord began to do and fulfill this that he wrote in Joel here, and how it is that we can be filled with the Spirit of our Lord. In verse number 39 of Luke chapter 1, Mary has been visited by the angel some 6 months ago, and she comes to see her cousin Elizabeth, and Mary has just been visited by the angel, and she undertakes to go see her cousin Elizabeth, whose husband was visited by the same angel, Gabriel, and she looks to go down there to visit her. Mary, just having conceived within her, the Lord conceived within her, the Lord Jesus Christ. Elizabeth, she and Zacharias came together, and the power of God, the blessing of the Lord was upon them, and Elizabeth had conceived 6 months earlier. So Mary comes down to visit her cousin and entered into the house of Zacharias, verse 40, and said, "Hello, Elizabeth." Hello, she saluted her. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe, that is John the Baptist, the one that the angel said and the Lord declared would be filled from the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb, he jumped. Mothers, when you've been carrying your babies, hey, did your baby ever jump? Did your baby ever kick? Ladies have difficulty sometime towards the end of their pregnancy. There's just getting to be not enough room in there for the baby, and they'll be pushing on ribs and making them real uncomfortable, and different women's situations are different. Here Elizabeth, John being at 6 months in his mother's womb, he leaped for joy at the greeting of the Lord's mother. All right? Listen to this. And it came to pass, verse 41, when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, "Hello, Elizabeth." The babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, was Elizabeth saved? Oh, yeah, she and Zacharias, they're saved. They're saved. They're dedicated to the Lord. They trust in the Lord, and in the Lord is their hope, help, and salvation. But she's filled with the Spirit of God, it says here. Filled with the Holy Spirit. You know what happens? She runs to the grocery store and just shops the place out. She gets in the middle of a craft and really works it up and makes a lot of this craft that she's really been looking to work on. She goes out there and takes care of the animals and just really cleans up the stall. Is that what she does? No, listen to what she does when she's filled with the Spirit of God. She's filled with the Spirit, filled with the Holy Ghost, and she spake out with a loud voice. She's not whispering. This woman is proclaiming, isn't she? She's speaking out with a loud voice, as Brother Luke's account, and said, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" You know what? Elizabeth is not focusing on herself, is she? She's focusing on the good work of God Almighty. You know what that means? The words coming out of her mouth are praise unto the Lord for his wonderful, wonderful works. See, we need to slow down and think about this, about Elizabeth and Zacharias. This man has not been able to talk for 6 months. But Elizabeth knows what's going on. They've been wearing out the legal pad at Elizabeth and Zacharias' house, haven't they? Or the slate or the tablet, whatever it is they have to write on. He's been writing down and telling her what he saw, what the angel said, what is going on. And here now Mary shows up. And understand, they don't live in a day where a greyhound or a I was going to say TWA. Boy, that's a blast from the past, isn't it? That the Southwest Airlines is there. It took her some work to get on down there to the hill country of Judea from Galilee. And Elizabeth knows that child within her is alive, and she's been carrying John for 6 months. And whether she's expecting Mary or not, we don't know. But Mary says, "Hello, Elizabeth." And John jumps within her, and she is filled with the Spirit of God, and she is blessed by the Lord to praise the Lord. She spake out with a loud voice, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb." Mary is not a woman that is divine, as the brother mentioned this morning. She's not divine. You know, there are those that seek to make Mary the fourth part of the Godhead. That's not so. Mary wouldn't want it that way. She knows she's not. But Mary is a young virgin, a young woman, saved by the Lord, dedicated to Him, and chosen of God to be used in this way. One woman ever in the world used this way. And the Lord chose her, and He's using her this way. She's blessed of the Lord. Let us understand, Mary is not the blesser. Amen? It's God that's the one that blesses. Amen? It's the Lord is the one that blesses. She's the recipient of it. Blessed art thou among women. Indeed, she's been chosen by God, not because of attribute that she has above another. It's just been the good pleasure of the Lord to choose her. She lives in Nazareth, the qualifying city. All right. And some of those things prophesied about our Lord. She's a virgin. That was necessary. It was the Lord's good pleasure. There was nothing special. Don't believe the lie that there was something special about the way Mary was conceived. She was conceived just like you and I were conceived of our parents, and born like you and I were born. Mary is saved. She is the Lord's. But there's nothing divine in her. She's been the recipient of the blessing. And let us be clear in that. Indeed, she is blessed of the Lord. Well, what does that mean, that word blessed? When you see that word blessed, or as we would say it, blessed, they're rejoicing in the Lord, and they've been touched by God. And that's the way it is with Mary. She's been touched by God. And so what Elizabeth says about her is true. Blessed art thou among women. The Lord has chosen you to be the mother of the Lord Jesus. And blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Indeed, blessed and touched by the Lord and of God is the Lord Jesus Christ. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Don't you love those words? Man, I just rejoice in that. Blessed is this that the mother of my Lord would come to me. Now understand, God doesn't have a mother. There are those that swear by the mother of God. God doesn't have a mother. Now the Lord Jesus Christ has a mother. But He created her, not her creating God. But those doctrines are out there, aren't they? And we need to be aware of that. The mother of my Lord, that fruit of the womb that you are carrying in your womb, Mary, is my Lord. This woman's saved, isn't she? She's been filled with the Spirit of God, and the words out of her mouth, the activity that comes from her, is nothing but praising her Lord for what He's done. She's rejoicing in her Lord. Listen to this. For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation, verse 44, sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy, and blessed is she that believed. And so John leaps, she testifies. How does she know that he's happy? She can just tell. She just knows. And she, what's she do here? She testifies that Mary, you're blessed because you believed. See, Elizabeth has the experience of knowing that her husband, when he was there at the temple and Gabriel appeared, he didn't believe. How shall I know that this will be? And Gabriel, if you will, says, you should have known, this is implied, you should have known because this is the word of the Lord. But because you've doubted, you will not talk till the boy be delivered. But you know what Mary did? Oh, Mary didn't understand how it could be. Let's read over here in Luke chapter 1 and verse 34. And Mary said unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? She understands how it works, what's going to be required for her to have a baby. She's not doubting. She says, how can it happen? And he tells her, the Spirit of the Lord will be upon thee and overshadow thee, and that which will be conceived in thee will be the Holy Child, the Son of God. And so Mary didn't doubt, but she believed. And she said, be it according to thy word. She says, I'm willing. I want it to be. I'm blessed by it. And back in verse 45, and blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. What do we see here? We see a total and complete surrender to the word of God. A testifying that what God says is true, and we can rest in it, and we can believe it, and we can know that it's so. Mary, you'll not miscarry. Mary, you're going to have that child because God is going to do it. God is doing it. This woman's been filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And what's she doing? All along the way, in the circumstance of her life, Mary's life, her cousin that's coming to visit her, she's praising God. She's praising the Lord indeed. Blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. I think we could go and we could read here what Mary says and see that the Spirit of the Lord had filled her too to praise the Lord and honor the Lord. But we're not going to do that for now. You can read that on your own time. Time goes on. Mary goes on back home. And Elizabeth, time to deliver John is at hand. And we pick it up here in verse number 57. Now Elizabeth's time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. Surprise, surprise. Is that a surprise? That's no surprise. What it is just confirmation of what the Lord said. He said a son, and she delivered a son. Know that it's so. What the Lord says is going to come to pass. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. I tell you what, they're grinning ear to ear, aren't they? And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, not so, but he shall be called John. Now, Zacharias can't talk, but she knows the boy's name, doesn't she? Because Zacharias has been writing. He's been writing. Or they learned sign language fast or something. Something they communicated somehow. And so she says, his name's going to be John. And they said unto her, there is none of thy kindred that is called by this name. There's nobody in your family that is called John. And so they're quarreling with Elizabeth. She says, they take him and they're going to circumcise him. They go through that and they say, here's Zacharias, the minister that does that circumcision, the priest, the one there at the synagogue that came to do that ministry. And she said, no, his name's John. So, well, you don't have anybody in your family that name. You don't have anybody in your family that name. And listen to what they do. They doubt her. They marveled. Their jaws are dropped open. So, you're going to call him John, and there's nobody in your family by the name of John? Right? Well, listen to what it says. And they made signs, verse 62, to his father how he would have him called. What about you, Zacharias? And they're, what about you, Zacharias? You know, how we do that. I can see them doing that. You know, we overcompensate for somebody's inability in a thing. They're making signs. Wonder what that was all about. Zacharias, you know, he could still hear, but he just couldn't talk. how he would have him called, verse 63. And he asked for a writing table, and he'd been wearing that thing out, that writing table and the chalk, whatever, and wrote saying, his name is John. You know what? And they marveled all. Their jaws dropped. Zacharias, right? His name is John. It's not will be, or we're going to call him, but his name already is John. Listen to this. And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God, and fear came on all that dwelt round about them. And all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, what manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was upon him. And his father, Zacharias, was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied. You know what the Lord prophesied in Joel is coming to pass. Jesus is on the way. The Redeemer, the Messiah, is on the way. He's doing what he said. There's no greater event in history, in the history of the world, than the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to be the Savior. And what did the Lord say? I'm going to pour out my Spirit in the midst of it. I'm going to pour out my Spirit on all flesh. And I tell you what, you're going to see the glory and the power of the Lord. Listen to what our brother does. He goes out and gets caught up on his honey-do list. He goes out in the community, all these different merchants he's not been able to talk to. He goes out there and starts doing his business with them because now he can speak. Is that what he did? No. He's filled with the Spirit of God, the Scripture says. And his father Zacharias, verse 67, was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. He's visited us. He's not forgot about us. It's been silent for 400 years, and our Lord has not forgotten about us. Matter of fact, he's buying us back. That's what that word redeem means. He's buying us back. We're in a sorry, terrible shape, and our Lord God, the Lord God of Israel, he's visited us again and redeemed his people and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. Brother Zacharias, what's he doing? Is he talking about John? No, he goes straight to talking about the Lord Jesus. He's got his own son, his only son born to him, a son born to him in his old age. He's filled with the Spirit of God. He doesn't talk about his son. He talks about our Lord. There's a help. There's a horn. There's a strong arm in the house of David. He knows Mary's descendancy. And the Lord has answered his promise that he would send his son. He would send a deliverer. And our brother, being filled with the Holy Spirit of God, does what? Does his own thing? No, he praises our Lord. He's raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. As he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets. You reckon Zacharias had been going down to the synagogue and looking up the scriptures? Remember, Gabriel told him what John would do, and that John would be the forerunner of the Redeemer, of Christ, of Messiah. Can you imagine being in a situation where you've been told by an angel of God that your son's going to be the forerunner to Christ? I bet you he got interested, don't you? He thought back to those scriptures that he knew. I bet he went down there to the synagogue and requested those scrolls and to get out. Remember, he's a priest. He's got access. They would allow. And this is my son. Look at what the Lord's doing. If my son is the forerunner, he's the forerunner to the one the Lord's sending. He sent him in our day. He's rejoicing in his Lord. He's praising his God. He's raised up a horn. As he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, I figure he'd been reading them lately in that last 6 months, which have been since the world began. You know, maybe before he came home in Jerusalem, he stopped by and took a look at the scrolls and what they said. Maybe before Zechariah left Jerusalem, he went over to the scribes and says, tell me, where is it that it's written about the one coming before, the one coming in the spirit of Elijah and the Messiah coming? Refresh my memory on those scriptures. Refresh my memory. Where is it that it's written about the branch that'll come out of the stem of Jesse? Where is that? Because Zacharias was given the whole thing there by the angel, plenty for him to know and understand. And he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, verse 71, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham. It's coming to pass. Our Savior is coming. That he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear. Oh, what a blessed thing for them to be able to worship and serve the Lord without fear. The sins of the nation had brought oppression unto them, and they're experiencing that yet in Zacharias' day by the Romans. And he says, oh, we have a help and a hope that we'll be able to be free. And we'll be able to serve the Lord without fear and without oppression anymore. This one out of the house of David, this one given by our Lord, speaking of Jesus that Mary was carrying, this one, he's the answer to all those things. He's rejoicing in his Lord. And in holiness, verse 75, and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And now, in this verse, after these verses, being filled with the Spirit of God, what does Zacharias do? He praises the Lord. He magnifies the Savior. He magnifies the one that's not even born yet. He magnifies the Lord and his prophecies and the fulfilling of it, and that he and his wife and right there in their time, they're right there in the middle of the Lord beginning to open up and beginning to perform what he's promised that he will do. What's he do when he's filled with the Spirit? He doesn't seek his own. He seeks the praise of the Lord. He magnifies the Lord. And then this in 76, and thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest. Wow. The prophet of the highest. Now he's looking at his son. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways. Just like the Lord said. Just like the scripture says. Just like the angel told him. To give knowledge of salvation to his people by their baptism. Right, Brother Mark? Wrong. By the remission of their sins. Jesus is going to pay it. That's the reason we sing, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Not with baptism. By faith in him, salvation by him. He says, John, you're the prophet of the Lord. You're going to go before him. You're going to give knowledge of salvation to the people by the remission of their sins through this Christ. Through the tender mercy of our God, he's been merciful to us. We don't deserve these things, but he's promised them and is doing them. Whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us. The day spring. The Lord and the Lord, there's nothing but life. In our Lord, there's nothing but light. In our Lord, he is our all in all. The Lord is everything. And you know what? He's come down from heaven to be here amongst us. Listen to what he says. Whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, speaking of Christ. Why? That the light would give light to them that sit in darkness, because here we do sit in darkness, to give light to them that sit in the shadow of death. You know what? To guide our feet into the way of peace. Jesus is that narrow way. And he's come, and he's going to guide our feet. He's going to lighten our way. He's going to show us the truth. He's going to show us that he is the way of salvation. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. I wonder about the ministry of the Lord, of John the Baptist, when that started. Wow, I've only got the point number 3. We're going to have to stop right there. The Holy Spirit and His filling of His saints. We've got all the Word of God that we're going to get. And so let us not be misunderstanding of that. We have the full counsel of God. But you know what? Indeed, we can prophesy from the standpoint of giving what God has said over again. We proclaim the Word of God. What do you want, child of God? Do you want to be filled with the spirit of this world or the spirit of the Lord? I want to be filled with the spirit of the Lord, don't you? I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about, as been evidenced by our Lord and our sister and our brother here, don't you want to be a voice in this dark, dreary, cold, wicked, sinful world that speaks of Christ? Don't you desire to be filled with the Spirit of God? We're admonished to be filled with the Spirit of God. We need to know His Word. We need to know what He says in His Word. There'll be nothing new but what the Lord has said. And we need to ask our Lord to work in us. Yes, how is it that we can be filled with the Spirit of God? Be not drunk with wine, where is an excess, but be filled with the Spirit. How? Well, let's turn over here in closing to Luke chapter 11. I'll remind you of this passage here in Luke 11, verse number 13. Certainly this applies to us as His children. The Lord teaches here about prayer, asking and seeking and knocking. And He talks about importunity of a friend. And He says here in verse number 13, you want to be filled with the Spirit of God? If ye then being evil, verse 13 of Luke 11, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? It could be argued that that wouldn't necessarily be to all men, but I tell you what, it can't be argued that it certainly applies to the children of God. You want to be filled with the Spirit of the Lord? Again, with these messages and how we've looked at the Spirit of God, and this time in the Spirit of God and His filling of the children of our Lord, what other spirit would you want to have within you? Amen. You want the spirits that are running around in this world deceiving and deceiving mankind and promoting all kinds of wickedness and ungodliness and everything that is against Christ? Or we want to be filled with the Spirit of God? You know what? You can start off with your music. Isn't that what it said in Ephesians? You can start off with what we fill ourselves up with. We need to fill up with the Word of God. We need to be a thankful people unto our Lord, always looking for that opportunity to thank the Lord from the heart and to rejoice in our Lord and to walk with Him, as the brother led us in the song, and to seek His face and what He wants us to do. I pray that our Lord would help us. And we've got revival services this month. You want to be filled with the Spirit of the Lord? Ask. Ask. And pursue it. Pursue Him. Now, I'm not talking about a second blessing. There are those that hold to a second. No, we've got the blessing. We've been saved. We've been called. But will we avail ourselves of the Spirit of God? Brother Mark Clark Jr. preached a message, and one day, Lord willing, I looked to preach it. It was a blessing. He preached it at the monthly fellowship meeting a couple months ago, and he brought out there how it was with the children of Israel. They were rebellious. Moses intercedes for them. The Lord's getting ready to destroy them. Moses intercedes, reminds the Lord of His promises, and tells the Lord, Lord already knows these things, but He tells the Lord how it would make a mockery of the calling of the Lord amongst the Gentiles and the heathen if He would bring them out there to the desert to destroy them. And the Lord, in a paraphrase, says, Moses, I'm going to do what I promised to do. I'm going to take them to that land that flows with milk and honey, and I'm going to give them the stuff. But Moses, I'm not going with them. And the brother pointed out in that What a sad, sad thing to have the promise of God and have the stuff of life, but not have the Lord. Moses said, "Oh, Father, don't send us if you don't go with us." See, as the children of God, we can be found in that state. We can enjoy the blessings of the Lord and things temporal and things carnal, things of this world, and nothing wrong with them. And we're to use what we're given for the honor and glory and service of the Lord. But do we have fellowship with our Lord? Do we seek to be filled with His Spirit? May the Lord help us in that.